Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. And welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. Glad you can join me wherever you are in the world. I am your host, Janice Sutherland. And my guest this week is Sarah Greaves Gabadon, aka Jet Set Sarah. She's a travel writer, on-screen host, and self-described carivangelist who goes to the beach and beyond to share the culture, lifestyle, and personalities of the Caribbean with the world. She's based in Miami and creates content for outlets including Travel and Leisure, Islands.com, AARP, Essence Magazine, the UK's Telegraph and Canada's Globe and Mail newspapers. Sarah is also Jet Setter in Chief at JetSetSarah.com, where her passions, travel, style and fitness meet. You can follow her adventures on Instagram and Facebook at JetSetSarah. And as you can imagine, given the nature of her work, that the current pandemic situation has had quite an impact on what she does. So we talk about how COVID has impacted her career as a travel writer and how she's making herself remain relevant in the current climate. So sit back and enjoy. Imagine you're on a beach somewhere just like Sarah would be in normal days. Don't forget to share your comments and your views on your favorite podcast platform and also rate, review and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Enjoy. So I'm delighted to have my guest this week, Sarah Greaves Gabadon, who is AKA, which is also known as Jet Set Sarah, who I have followed vicariously for quite a while via Instagram, as I'm sure a number of you have, and also had the opportunity to meet in person. I think it was last year, or was that long ago? Was it earlier this year? Before the lockdown, anyway. So, Sarah, welcome to This Woman Can. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, and I'm doing well. I'm pivoting, and I've turned my pivot into a pirouette, and I'm actually enjoying myself. I'm pretty busy. So yes, thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Fantastic. Now, you probably have the enviable job of flying around the Caribbean and looking absolutely fabulous when you do it. So tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Well, we only have a few minutes, so I'll give you the abridged version, which is basically that I've always had travel in my blood. My mother was from Barbados. My father is from Jamaica. They met in England. My father had moved there as a teenager. My mother went there to study nursing as a, 21-year-old. They met, and like many people of Caribbean descent, when you're living somewhere like England or Canada, you're always going backwards and forwards to the country where your parents come from. Maybe they send you home for, summer or Christmas or something. And so my point is, I've always had travel in my blood. I decided I wanted to make it a career. I studied hotel management in England at Bournemouth University and got into the PR side of it. And then from the PR side, segued into the travel writing side. So I have been a travel writer and travel magazine editor probably for maybe 20 years now. I'm not sure. I'm 53, so a long time ago. But and since 2012, I've actually been freelance, which was a huge leap for me. And that's when I created my brand, Jet Set Sarah. And I decided to call it Jet Set Sarah, not Caribbean Sarah, because while the Caribbean is my beat and it's my passion and I feel very territorial about it, I joke that I call myself the Carivangelist because I'm spreading the gospel of the Caribbean all around. The gospel being that all the islands are different, different
yes,
languages,
very
different
much.
Geography, etc. We're not all the same. So that is my mission in life, but I didn't want to limit myself. So I became Jet Set Sarah, and I write about other places too. I write about Australia, French Polynesia, and I write about style and fitness, because one of the things I've learned as a freelancer is you won't necessarily make all the money that you deserve, or not immediately anyway. So I tell people that, you know, the thing is that what I'm doing now, I would do if I didn't need the money. I do need the money, but if I were independently wealthy, I would want to follow my passions, which are travel, shopping and style and fitness. So I found a way to make a living these last 8 years writing about just that.
Fabulous. Now, I'm so glad you slipped in your age then, because we are both women of a certain age. And what I love about you is that the fact, how do I put this? Is that the fashion, you know, I remember when I was growing up that when you hit 40 as a woman, there was a certain way you were supposed to dress, you were supposed to act, you were supposed to behave. Yet I think now in my 50s, that has gone out the window. I don't understand where those rules come from, because I certainly don't follow them. And I love the fact that you emulate that. Was that a deliberate thing, or is it just who you are?
You know, I think that as I've gotten older, well, first of all, my baseline is that I'm an only child. I had an idyllic childhood with parents who, even now, I love to hang out with. And so I started with a baseline of confidence. And I think that's really important. The baseline is confidence. But definitely, as I've become older, I would say mid-40s to now, I just feel as if I'm coming into the fullest expression of myself. I feel a freedom. And I was never a shy, retiring person. I was never a shrinking violet. But I definitely feel a freedom now to just be proudly and boldly who I am. I mean, let's face it. I'm my personality is pretty much set now. I think I'm a pretty cool person. I don't really have any desire to change who I am in any significant way. It's not to say that I can't be flexible and adapt and compromise, but I am who I am, and I like who I am, and I like to express that absolutely in the things that I wear, the colors that I choose to wear, the clothing that I wear. It's all a way for me to telegraph who I am before I even open my mouth. And hopefully it's also a way to signal to people how I desire to be treated.
Yes.
You know, I've put myself together with care. I like to joke and say that, you know, the way, you know, when I dress, I like, and people compliment me, I say, well, I'm doing it for you, because I only see myself for 5 minutes in the mirror before I leave the house. But everyone I meet during the day is looking at me all day, right? So I like to give them something pleasant to look upon as they see me during the day. But you know, I just think it's a confidence that comes with age and experience. And a big part of it also is in 2011, so 9 years ago, I had weight loss surgery. I come from a family like many other Caribbean families where everyone was quite heavily overweight. And I had been cool with it up until a point. And once I realized that this is really affecting the quality of my life, I took that step to have weight loss surgery, and it's the best thing I've ever done. And certainly, I believe that gave me a huge new lease on life. Right. And of course, I went from going to just being able to stop in plus size stores to having the mall expand tenfold for me. And, you know, so now I feel free to go into any store and buy anything I like, because, you know, if you have a problem with me, that's your own business. That's not my business.
And you touched on confidence there. And like you say, you do come across a very confident person. You do come across a very confident person.
Okay. So there was a lag. So I finished talking, and then I didn't hear anything you said after I said, if you have a problem with me, it's your problem.
Fabulous. It's okay. Fine. So I'm glad you touched on confidence there, because you come across a very confident person, whether you like to or not. But has there ever been a situation where you lacked confidence, and how did you get past those stages?
Yes, there have been moments when I've lacked confidence. I think certainly when I was heavier in terms, personally, I think that I had somehow absorbed this idea that because I was fat, somehow I wasn't worthy of romantic love, or I would never get married or have boyfriends. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so ridiculous to say it now, but you know, it's really important the way you talk to children and the media that you consume, because all of those things are sending you You know, the world can send you messages subliminally that you're not good enough, that you're not worth whatever, you know, you're not going to get what you want. And I think that despite, you know, being a confident person and having parents and friends who loved me, I think I did absorb those gifts, those messages. And so, yeah, I had in earlier and before I had weight loss surgery, I think I absolutely was less confident about that. And then professionally, I absolutely have moments of insecurity because, you know, I never ever thought that I would work for myself, that I would be self-employed. It was never a goal of mine. Like I said, I'm 53, so I was brought up in the era where you were told by your parents, right, you go to school, you get your degree, and then it is a smooth trajectory from leaving university until retiring. And of course, the world changed. It's not that that was bad advice, but the world completely changed.
Yeah.
And I work in magazine publishing, which had a sea change slash, you know, tanked back in the early 2000s. So I have had what's been challenging for me, and it's my greatest challenge, it's also my greatest success, I think, looking back, is the fact that I've had to reinvent myself. I thought, I'm on the career train, I'm just on now until we reach the final stop. And all of a sudden, the wheels fell off and the train crashed and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I've had moments of professional insecurity having to reinvent myself as a self-employed person, as a sole contractor, whatever you want to call it. And all the issues that come with that.
That's
been a challenge for me.
And I like you touched on that because I would ask you probably a little off topic slightly, but you talked about reinventing yourself, and given the current climate and all that's happened over the past few months, there's going to be, there already is huge change for women, for people changing careers because of work and stuff like that. So could you share maybe just one or two tips as to anybody going through that career change, career invention, pivot, pirouetting that you could share with the listeners?
Yeah. Yes, you know, I think it's really important to recognize what your strengths are and what you enjoy. And maybe this is an opportunity now to do something that you've always wanted to pursue but thought, oh, I'll be more practical. But now, sometimes when the worst things that you can imagine happen and you realize you survive, that gives you energy to say, you know what, I'm going to try that freelance career, or I'm going to try that career change because the worst has already happened and I haven't fallen apart, you know. Yeah. So you could use it as, you could see this time as a springboard, as life giving you permission to do that thing that you've always loved. At the same time, if you have to make a career change, you know, think about what it is that the skills that you have in this particular, that you've developed and the experience you developed in the particular career that you have, and how that translates to other industries, to other things, because they're, you know, just because you are a nurse doesn't mean that you can't work, that you can't do something else, because there are skills that you learn as a nurse, empathy, attention to detail, blah, 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 that could work just as well and are very well suited in other careers. I mean, certainly for me, I know that travel and sharing my experiences in the world with people is what I want to do. And certainly for me, when all of this happened, you know, if you follow me, you know that I travel 3 out of every 4 weeks of the year, of the month. So it was quite a moment for me when I came home from my last trip on March 7th and haven't traveled since. And I wanted to myself, you know, I spent all this time building up, you know, audiences on social media. Yeah. And I thought, wow, well, is anyone still going to be following me or be interested in what I have to say if I'm not traveling? I was challenged with thinking, how can I still remain relevant and interesting and keep my audience engaged? And I thought about it and I said, well, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. I can't give people COVID advice, but I do know that we all have it in us that we want to travel. And until we can travel, I can do two things. I can inspire people by repurposing, you know, a gazillion photographs that I've taken or videos that I haven't made, you know, moving them from one platform to another. So I can inspire people to travel when it's safe to do so. And now, as the Caribbean opens, I have another goal, which is to inform people about, yes. you know, which islands are open. Should you even travel now? Because we are in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes.
You know, what's, you know, all the protocols with the islands of getting into the islands and the countries are different. So I'm now trying not just to inspire, but to inform. And I'm really happy to see that I've actually grown my audience through the pandemic, which I didn't think was going to happen at all. I thought I was going to lose tons of them, but I've managed to grow that. And I think that's because I'm doing, honestly, I feel that I'm doing the work that I was put here to do on Earth without sounding too woo-woo or new agey. But honestly, I think that's why I'm here.
Well, I think people still want to have the thought of that, look, I can still travel to these places. And I also love the fact that you're almost pinning down, you know, identifying that each island is different, because people tend to think of the Caribbean as one mass when we are many, many different countries. So you can have a rude awakening if you're not up to speed of what's happened that particular island. So I think it's great.
Right. And people also think that the protocols are the same island to island, and they're not, as you know. Antigua has a completely different protocol from St. Lucia, from the Bahamas, you know, and it takes, so as I keep saying to people, you know, I want you to go to the Caribbean, but go when it's safe and make sure that you're informed before you go, because the days of just jumping on a plane and going are over. Now it's going to take preparation and research before you go.
Definitely. So Sarah, that's great, and you've talked about reinventing and stuff like that, and I can see you've done a fantastic job of it, but if you had to start over from scratch knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
You know, so before I went freelance in 2012, which was, you know, I'm a reluctant freelancer. Like I said, I would have happily have worked for, I was used to be executive editor at Caribbean Travel and Life magazine. And it was based here in Florida, but it was the only newsstand magazine in the US that was devoted to the Caribbean.
Right.
It had been around for 25 years, but unfortunately it shut in 2012. And what I wish, the one thing I wish about that, I mean, I feel I took full advantage. It was a job I loved, and I took full advantage of every opportunity it brought me, except for the fact that I wish I had started the Jet Set Sarah brand while I was still at Caribbean Travel and Life, and could have leveraged their audience to be mine. You know, I think, I'd have so many more followers now, you know. But hindsight is 20/20, but I do try to pay it forward by telling my other colleagues in the media who work for media houses, you know, start now. Don't wait till you are forced into freelancing or decide to go freelance. You know, start now. If you have a way to enjoy the halo effect of another brand to develop your own and leverage that for your own followers, absolutely do that. So that's, it's not a huge deal, but I do wish that I had done that differently. But that's the one thing I think.
And I think that's a great point. Irrespective of what industry you're in, people underestimate that you are the brand, regardless of who you work for. So whether that's on social media, whether that's in real life, people are looking at who you are and what you stand for. So it's a great time to actually build your brand from the get-go. You know, own your name on the URL, whatever you need to do, but be cognizant that your brand portrays who you are as you navigate your career. So that's a fantastic.
Yes. I mean, because let's face it, who you are, yours is the only brand that you're guaranteed to have for your lifetime.
Yes.
No matter who you work for now, no matter how secure your industry feels or your job feels, the days of people having one job for most of their career, or even two jobs of their career, and getting the gold watch at the end are over. So you have to develop and protect your own brand basically from the time you enter the workforce, really.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So thank you. So Sarah, share with us a success quote or mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
Ooh. Oh, a success quote or mantra. You know, I don't know that I have quotes, but I have, or, you know, not pretty wrapped up in a bow quotes, but there are two things that guide me. My grandmother would always encourage me to take advantage of every single opportunity that came my way, whether I thought I wanted it or not. To always say yes. Say yes and then figure out how you're going to do it, you know, later, right? Just say yes And so, and you know, just welcome everything that comes to you. And so I definitely use that in my life. I try not to make it, you know, we all get insecure and have moments of fear and want to say no to something that's new. And I try to resist that and think, okay, yes, even if it's yes, but even if it's yes, I can do that, but I can't do it for 4 days. I can do it for two. Or yes, I can do the webinar, but I can't, you know, do the, I don't know, whatever, you know what I mean? Do, it's the only way, you know, when you are uncomfortable is when you grow.
Yes.
If you're too, right? All the progress that you want lies at the edge of fear and discomfort. And so you have to push yourself. And I think that's what I translate my grandmother's words to mean. And also I ask myself, is this, I always honestly put my happiness, my own happiness first. I'm not one of those people, and I have never been one of those people that could do a job and get up and go to an office every day only because it paid very well, but I didn't really enjoy it. I've always had to enjoy things and make myself happy. So when I do have a choice, I mean, because of course there are everything, every one of us has things in our lives that we do that don't make us happy, but we have to do them.
Yes.
And you grit your teeth, you muscle up and you do them. But when you have a chance, choose the thing that makes you happy. Choose the thing that makes your heart sing, because otherwise, what's the point? That's what life is about, right? So I try to say yes, and I try to make myself happy in, at every opportunity.
Fantastic. So what was the last thing you said yes to that you were like, okay, I'm saying yes, but I'm saying yes with a little bit of a wobble?
You know, I did. Yes, there was 3 weeks ago. There was a, you know, of course, all travel conferences have been cancelled.
Yeah.
And but it had been one of my goals at the beginning of this year. I felt so good about 2020. You know, nice even numbers, symmetrical. Yes. It looks good. It sounds good, right? And it felt the best about a new year than I felt in ages. Yeah. And my year started off very well, and I had just a few very small, a few tightly edited professional goals. And one of them was that I wanted to develop the Jet Set Sarah brand. I wanted to basically do my own PR.
Right.
Like I've gotten to a point in travel writing where I didn't feel that I needed to prove anything more. I write for great outlets, for Travel and Leisure, for AARP, blah, 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 the Telegraph newspaper in England. And I thought, but what I really, where I really want to make progress is towards my larger goal of becoming the face of the Caribbean in broadcast media.
Right.
And I decided that the way I needed to do that was to do more speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. So I had two things that happened. In January, at the last minute, and when I say last minute, I mean like maybe 10 days beforehand, I got asked to fill in on a panel and speak at the New York Times travel show, which is a huge deal. Yeah. It's the largest travel show in in North America, I believe. And, you know, I knew I had to say yes, but I was freaking out because I didn't feel I had enough time to prepare. And I just, there were just a number of reasons where I thought, oh my God, oh my God, freak out. But I said yes, because I knew I could never forgive myself if I didn't. And I was very nervous. I mean, I thought I was going to vomit 2 seconds before I went on stage. But, you know, I went on the second I got on stage and the light turned on and I saw the people, you know, I'm a natural performer. So I was in the flow. I knew what I was talking about. I was passionate about what I was talking about, and it went really, really well. And I was so glad I did it. And it's so funny because I have zero recollection of actually, once I started talking, I really don't remember anything that happened until the end.
I know it well.
But yes. And so there was that. And then it happened to me again. Now, ironically, I thought that I was not going to be able to achieve those public speaking goals because of the lockdown. However, of course, what's happened, everyone's taking things virtual to the web.
Yes.
So I had so many invitations to be on webinars, to do podcasts with people like you, things that would not have come to me because of, you know, pre-COVID or if there was no COVID.
Yeah.
And I've really embraced those. But, you know, I'm very relaxed talking to you now. We've met, we have a rapport. Yeah. But, and it's just the two of us. But about 3 weeks ago, I was asked to be a panelist on something called the New Travel Conference. And it was completely online, 5 days of presentations throughout the day, like a real travel conference.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And I was asked to be on a panel. I was asked to be on a panel talking about race in the travel industry, which isn't something that I usually talk about.
Okay, very topical, and, however.
Yes, and, you know, they were unlike, you know, usually when I do a webinar, you know, there's maybe 20, 40, maybe 50 people. But this was like 300, somewhere between 300 and 400 very high-level people in the travel industry. And so, of course, I couldn't see them, but I'm sitting here in my office presenting and about something that, you know, I haven't really spoken about before. Yeah. That was nerve-wracking. But, you know, I did it and it was well-received. And, you know, with every triumph, with every triumph, you think to yourself, okay, I can do it. And it prepares you for the next one.
Fabulous, fabulous. And like you, I had my Janice 2020 plan. I'd had it, you know, I had it, more travel, more speaking engagements and everything. Like everything just went poof, you know, like that literally overnight. So I totally empathize where you're going. So I'm doing a lot more virtual work. I'm fortunate that a lot of my work is virtual anyway. So that wasn't too bad. And it has exposed me to some greater audiences. But like you say, I wanted to do a bit more pressing the flesh and being things more, put myself out there more in person. But it is what it is, and we learn to adapt. And you've done really well doing so. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
So Sarah, what advice? I love this question. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
I would give to my teenage self the advice that if you have a chronic problem, don't waste your time talking to your friends and your family. Seek professional help. And that's advice I give to people now as adults, whatever it is. I mean, for me, you know, I struggled with my weight my entire life. And it wasn't until I got professional help and had weight loss surgery that I have been able to manage it.
Right.
I just think that a lot of times we get caught up in a cycle of complaining because, you know, so there's a comfort in complaining. You know, you're very familiar with your problem.
Yes. Yeah.
You're familiar with your problem, but you don't know what the solution is. And there's a certain fear about who you would be and what your life might be like if you didn't have this hurdle that you think is holding you back.
So,
I think I would say to people, when you identify, or to teenage Sarah, when you identify a problem in your life, just go straight to the professionals to fix it.
Yeah, I love that, because as a coach, quite often what I find is that I'm usually asking my coachees, the women, the questions they know they need to ask themselves, but they've been avoiding, you know, and they have the answers, but they just don't want to hear it. So it's
sometimes you're just not ready.
Just not ready. But when you're faced and you know how much it stops you from doing something you want to do, something you love, then you really know you have to kind of put a stop to it and put a line in the sand and say, look, I have to face this. So yeah, I like that. So Sarah, if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
I thought about this and you know, I figured, you know, I'm a brand ambassador for the Oprah magazine. So I was like, well, should I say Oprah? Or, you know, but the truth is, first of all, I can't choose just one mentor, but it's not a famous person. When I think about the people who have mentored me and who I really respect, they're people in my family. You know, my grandmother, because she was amazing. She's gone now, but she, you know, had 8 children and moved from Jamaica in the 50s to England and, you know, didn't even have a high school education, but managed to raise 8 healthy children who are now all professionals. You know, just amazing. She had a mixture of strength and sass that I really, you know, that I really admire and hope to emulate. I'm an only child. I'm very close to my father, and his practicality, his steadiness, his reliability, I really respect. I love that. He's such a decent and honorable person. And I think if people can talk about me the way they talk about my father, I'll know my life has been a success. Okay. And my mother, because she's the kind, I always say to everyone, she's the kindest person that I know. She never has a bad word to say about anyone. She's understanding. She's sympathetic. I tell people all the time, she's a much nicer person than I am. But she's the kindest person that I know. So, yeah, it's the people in my family really who have influenced me the most and have been great mentors for me, and I think, I honestly think, would make great mentors for other people if they knew them.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And I always talk about people like that being the unconscious influencers, because they yes. don't know how much they're influencing those around them. So yeah, I have a few in my life too. We're coming down to our last couple of questions, so I'll get you out the hot seat. So what are the three things you have learned about yourself during your career?
Ooh, yes. Okay, so I've learned, I took for granted that everyone was, and I'm just going to own this, I took for granted that everyone is as confident and as charismatic as I am. Mm-hmm. And I did not realize until being in the working world, A, that everyone else wasn't like that, and B, that was such a valuable personal quality to have. Because in the end, work is all about relationships, right?
It is. Yeah.
And if two people do a job equally well, and one person is personable and the other one is a real pain to deal with, guess who you're going to ask to do the job, right? So I have learned that my personality, my confidence, is a huge bonus to me that I didn't even realize I had. I've also learned that that despite that, just like everybody else, I have moments of doubt and insecurity. You know, for example, when I was quote unquote forced into freelancing, you know, I didn't know if I could do it. I had many moments when I was like, oh my God, I'm not a small business owner. I don't know how to do this. I never thought of myself that way.
Yeah.
So I've learned that those two things can still exist. You can be confident, but still have moments of insecurity, yes. which you have to honor and face and push through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pushing through being the most important thing. But just because you're insecure doesn't mean you're not confident. And if just because you're confident doesn't mean that you're not going to have moments of insecurity.
Yeah,
I think that's only two, but I think they're two important things.
Strong ones. And I think the key there for me is probably the third is that you have found strategies to address both of those issues, but both of those challenges. Very well.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
So I'm giving you your third there.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, I may know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So where would we find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.? And I think I know the answer.
Saturday morning, I am a runner. And so Saturday morning is usually my long run, which means that depending, I live in Miami. My dirty little secret is I actually hate heat, even though I live in Miami and I'm in the Caribbean all the time. I'm a big fan of AC. I'd marry it if I could. But anyway, so the point is that I wake up very early to do a long run. Yes. And depending on whether I'm training for something, we could be running 6 miles or we could be running 10 miles. So I might be waking up as early as 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So by 10 o'clock in the morning, you are going to find me post long run and pre nap at home, cosseted in air conditioning, perhaps using some sort of massager on my calves because I tend to get tight after the run. But I will have that wonderful feeling of, oh my goodness, it's 10 o'clock. I've accomplished so much. Yeah. I'm showered. I've exercised. I'm now going to eat anything I want, and then I'm going to have the most righteous of naps, and nobody wake me until I wake naturally. So the short answer is post run, pre nap, feeling righteous.
And I totally understand that, because, like you said, I was fortunate enough to do run New York Marathon a few years ago, and I was training for it in the out here in the Caribbean, and I have never. I was running at 3 o'clock in the morning to avoid the heat, because I couldn't do 16, 20 miles in this heat right now. So I totally understand. And like you said, that feeling at the end where you can just like, I can eat anything I want because I have just burned 2,500 calories. You know, that is rewarding in itself. Now through injury, I've had to substitute running with cycling. So this morning I did 16 miles cycle, so a short
wow,
ride.
Really? It sounds impressive.
Short ride. But then it's knowing I can actually eat something. So I think when we get to being women a certain age again, that we have to kind of find that balance between exercise for health and for eating. So I was almost right. I thought you might still be running, but the post run, I'll take that for the win.
Oh yeah, 10 o'clock. Yeah, no. I'm definitely no. I'm definitely, by the time the sun's high up in the sky, I am inside.
Yeah, definitely fantastic. So Sarah, that my last question is. So Sarah, my last question, is what does success feel like to you?
Success to me feels like happiness and peace, contentment and peace. Success is not really, it's not that you don't have issues or challenges or worries, but there's a contentment that you have that you're on the right road, as you're on the right path, and that you'll get where you're going, and that right now is where exactly you're supposed to be, is exactly where you're supposed to be. So yeah, success just, it just feels relaxed and happy and peaceful. I mean, I think that's all anyone can ask of their life. If you are relaxed and happy and feel at peace with yourself, you are a success, absolutely.
Fantastic. I love that answer. So that was my last official question. But if people would love to connect with you or get to know more about what you do, where can they find you?
It's very easy. I have a website. It's called jetsetsarah.com, and it's Sarah with an H. And you can find me on every single social media platform at jetsetsarah with an H. But I will say that my favorite and the one I'm most fun on, I think, is Instagram. So look for me on Instagram first, because I like to joke to people that, you know, doesn't matter where in the world I am, I really am living on Instagram. So you'll find me there.
Fantastic. Sarah, thank you so much for your time today. It was a great delight. Truly a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much for asking me. This is actually the highlight of my morning. Thank you, Janice.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Wasn't that just a great interview? I hope you really enjoyed it. And what I love most about Sarah is that she really gave some fantastic gems relevant to anybody who's facing some transitional changes in their life, in their career. A couple of things she took away that really stood out for me was that starting now and not waiting until maybe the situation is perfect, because there never is a perfect situation. And also saying yes to opportunities and figuring out later. So there's some great piece of advice there. Now, if you're looking for more support, more advice, don't forget you can join the This Woman Can community at www.thiswomancan.coach. Network with some fabulous women, share ideas, get support, and use the resources that are available to help you further ahead in your career. Well, that's it for this week. Until next time, I hope you can join me. And wherever you are in the world, stay safe. Remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care until next time.
Hi, it's Janice. Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast. But have you joined the This Woman Can community online? It's where ambitious women can share experiences, strategies, and insights that equip and inspire them to build their career success, maximize their leadership, and make an impact in their world. And it's free. Join today. Visit www.thiswomancan.coach. Look forward to meeting you there.